Herzlich willkommen. Bienvenue. Vitame. Welcome to Many Roads Genealogy Podcast, Life in the Past Lane. I'm your host, Mark Rabideau, the old guy, speaking to you from the recording studios of Many Roads, nestled in the ponderosa forests of beautiful Franktown, Colorado. Today's sponsor for Life in the Past Lane is Uncle Sam.
Lend Uncle Sam a dime to win this war, and he'll pay you back with interest when he's won it. The easiest, most convenient way to lend him these dimes is to enroll in the payroll savings plan. Just tell your boss to deduct 10 cents from every dollar he pays you and lend it to Uncle Sam in your name. Sign up for this simple savings plan today, and when victory comes, you will have war bonds in your pockets instead of Axis bonds on your wrists.
We now resume our podcast. Welcome to this, the fifth episode of our podcast series, Life in the Past Lane. This podcast episode focuses on helping you get started with your Holocaust research. As you might guess, in this session, I'll attempt to provide you with a helpful verbal tutorial on researching the Holocaust era. I will include pointers to information provided by me on Many Roads to help you find your way through the confusion created as a legacy of this catastrophic historical period. I will also share an anecdote or two on some of the experiences I have encountered. First, let me say, Holocaust research is in many ways similar to other genealogical research, but in other ways, it is quite unique. For the purpose of this podcast, I will not focus on every aspect of the Holocaust perpetrated by the Nazis during and before World War II. I will concentrate on four crucial populations and aspects of the Holocaust. My focus will be on some of the largest populations targeted by the National Socialists, or Nazis, for elimination, extermination, and removal. These people include, according to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, some 6 million Jews, around 250,000 disabled or T4 people with disabilities who lived in medical institutions, some 196,000 to 220,000 Sinti Roma or gypsies, approximately 5,000 to 15,000 homosexuals. Not addressed in this podcast are those 1,900 Jehovah's Witnesses who were murdered, or more than 70,000 repeat criminal offenders, so-called asocials, who were also murdered. Note, there were other populations and groups as well targeted by the Nazis, but most were also wartime opponents of the Reich, and the slaughter that was perpetrated by both sides during that conflict were enormous. I also will not discuss Soviet civilian murders perpetrated by Stalin before, during, and after World War II. Perhaps we'll cover those matters in a subsequent podcast. Like most genealogy or family history research, Holocaust research as a unique research domain requires you build upon a good, sound foundation in order to achieve optimal results with minimal frustration. And trust me, Holocaust research can be very challenging, frustrating, and disturbing. So if you do not already possess a reliable degree of competency or a high level of comfort in conducting basic genealogical and historical research, I recommend you take advantage of some of the free course materials discussed on Many Roads Genealogy Getting Started section and in our podcast. The courses and materials I've cataloged there are largely free, which means they have no cost, and they are designed and available for distance learners, which means you don't need to sit in a classroom somewhere in order to benefit from these tools and courses. Included on the Getting Started page are the following instructional categories. We have a Getting Started area with a bunch of links. We have hundreds of free genealogy courses listed. We list out free genealogy podcasts and internet radio, and no, we're not on that list yet. We also list out genealogy webinars and online TV. That's all free stuff. And then genealogy courses and certificates that are tuition-based. Because the Holocaust took place on German or Third Reich-controlled lands between the years of 1933 and 1945, many of the more traditional Prussian, German, Polish research techniques and databases apply here. If you are unfamiliar with research in these regions, you'll find Many Roads podcast on materials and help aids listed in the Prussian, German, Polish free genealogy area and guidance to be very helpful, I think. This particular self-help section on many roads offers hundreds of articles, thousands of curated links, and more. It's simply one of the most advanced tutorials available on the conduct of Prussian, German, Polish research, available anywhere. Please use it and benefit from it. Once you feel you are on a reasonably firm footing with the basics of researching this geographic region, Central and Eastern Europe, and in using traditional genealogical research techniques and resources, then the guidance that follows in this podcast provides pointers on how to conduct Holocaust research. You certainly are free to use any of the guidance offered in this podcast and related show notes, even if you do not have the recommended foundational skills established. It's just that you may get tangled up in the morass of the region's history, ethnic cleansings, ethnic destructions. In other words, you might get confused. Having completed our quick discussion about building a solid foundation, let's move on to the more specific aspects of conducting and experiencing Holocaust research. But let me warn you, demons and surprises lurk here. Before we go into the bread and butter sites and links discussion, I'll share with you a story as an example of what can happen. This happened to me. Sometimes genealogy research leads to unexpected places. It can dash assumptions and destroy illusions. Such was the result of my casual search for information and photographs from the former area of Zeyr and Kreiselbing, my mom's old home area. I had hoped to find photos of churches and hidden information about the community. Instead, I uncovered something much more ominous and disturbing. Perhaps like many of you, I had always assumed that Mennonites did their best to avoid military service, as well as political involvement in the more earthly pursuits. I had assumed Mennonites were people of peace. Turns out I was wrong. So if you go to the podcast notes, you'll actually see an image of what I found, but I'll read it to you. It's a set of newspaper clippings. It says, An der Herrn Reichskanzler Adolf Hitler, Berlin. Die heute zu Tiegenhagen im Freistaat Danzig tagende Konferenz der Ost- und Westpreußischen Mennoniten empfindet mit tiefer Dankbarkeit die gewaltige Erhebung, die Gott durch ihre Tatkraft unserem Volk geschenkt hat und gelobt auch ihrerseits freudige Mitarbeit am Aufbau unseres Vaterlandes. Aus den Kräften des Evangeliums heraus, getreu dem Wahlspruch unserer Väter, einen anderen Grund kann niemand legen, außer dem, der gelegt ist, welcher ist Jesu Christus. Und danach von dem Herrn Reichskanzler ist inzwischen folgendes Antwortschreiben eingetroffen, für die mir ihre Zuschrift zum Ausdruck gebrachte, treue Gesinnung und ihre Bereitwilligkeit am Aufbau des Deutschen Reichs mitzuarbeiten, spreche ich Ihnen meinen aufrichtigen Dank aus, Adolf Hitler. So, translated, what that says is the Mennonites of East and West Prussia sent an official greeting to the new Reichskanzler or Imperial Chancellor, Adolf Hitler. The date for that document is the 10th of September, 1933. Those gathered here today at the meeting of the Conference of East and West Prussian Mennonites in Tiegenhagen within the Free City of Danzig feel with deep gratitude the great uplifting that God gave our people through your strength of will. And pledge for our part, joyful cooperation in the building of our fatherland from the power of the gospel, faithfully from the motto of our fathers, other foundation can no man lay other than that which is already laid, Jesus Christ. And then from the consular chancellor, the following reply has arrived. I offer my sincerest appreciation and thanks for your communication in which you expressed your loyalty and willingness to work together with me to rebuild the German Reich, signed Adolf Hitler. Quite simply, I was shocked. Here was a newspaper clipping indicated that the broad East and West Prussian Mennonite community was expressing joy, fealty, and adherence to Adolf Hitler and his efforts to make Germany great again. I had to see if there was more. I immediately decided to look for information via Mother Google, something that I do frequently. And what I found next shocked me. It was evidence of two Stutthof concentration subcamps in the Zeyr area, one in Zeyrs-Niederkampen and the second one in my mom's hometown of Zeyrs-Vorderkampen. Both camps had Mennonite involvement, and the one in Zeyrs-Vorderkampen was even run by the Mennonites. A posting on this is on many roads, and you can get to it through the podcast notes. The sad truth is that for this time and place, these subcamps were not exceptional. Stutthof had dozens, maybe more, subcamps. The shock was that these atrocious activities were everywhere, and they were ordinary. Having said that, I'm left to ponder the following. How is it that so many people can be turned into eager, almost joyful adherents of hatred? What causes people to lose their humanity and become predators who victimize and oppress? Why are people so willing to sacrifice long-held beliefs and traditions and follow a path of evil? I share this in our podcast in order to demonstrate the following. Information and facts that you seek may not all be found where you expect. I'm going to point you to a lot of really good traditional websites to find information, and you will find excellent information there. And collectively, these sites offer a wealth of data and information. Although you're going to soon discover that they also are simply not able to afford you enough information to satisfy the needs that you might be seeking to meet. And as I pointed out just a little bit ago, you never know where you might encounter additional and critical information. As promised, I'm now going to review some of the traditional websites that provide Holocaust information and tutorials. The first site is FamilySearch.org. It is, as many of you know, an LDS, or Latter-day Saints Church, website, and it offers some concise guidance on researching the Jewish Holocaust. If you access their research wiki, you'll receive a rather lengthy listing of Holocaust-related documents on their website. I have a link for that in the show notes. They also offer a Holocaust section, but it is quite brief, and basically it provides a little bit of context, but mostly it provides the same pointers that I'm going to be providing here, minus a few. So the next site is the ever-popular, ever-famous Ancestry.com. Ancestry offers information on finding Jewish records, and their site provides some very interesting links that are a little bit different. They have message boards that focus on Jewish family history, and those message boards facilitate discussion and collaboration on Jewish history and that sort of material. They also offer a Jewish history collection, which is said to be the world's largest online collection of Jewish historical records. This collection contains passenger lists, census records, Holocaust records, and more. What I would point out is it offers an awful lot of Jewish records, but it's not exclusively focused on Holocaust. The other thing to be aware of with respect to Ancestry.com, and you probably already are, is that it is a for-fee website. The next resource I want to mention is the NISCOR project. This provides guides on research and all kinds of material. The site is unique in that it offers a focus on Holocaust deniers as well as Holocaust victims. To my mind, this is the only major site that does that. As they note on their site, and I'm quoting them, NISCOR may include materials such as excerpts from the writings of racists and anti-Semites. Far from approving these writings, NISCOR condemns them and provides them so that its readers can learn the nature and extent of hate and anti-Semitic discourse. I find that very interesting, and I think it's also probably quite useful. Anyway, major topic areas that they do cover are they have an area on Holocaust research guides, on Holocaust camps, on the Nuremberg trials, a who's who, they call it people from A to Z. They have a who's who on organizations, just called organizations. They have Shofar FTP archives, and then they have an area called special features. The next site is one that I think you probably have already heard of, and that is Jewish Gen. Jewish Den offers some major sections, and I just focused on their Getting Started section. So they offer a first-timer section, which is advice for beginners. If you use this section, you will find that you can learn a lot about your family through interviews and understand a little bit better how Jewish Gen itself works. And that's pretty important because it's not always intuitive. They also offer an FAQ or frequently asked questions about Jewish genealogy area. They have an info files section, which is a directory of resources organized by topic and country. This area offers hundreds, I mean just a boatload, of internet links grouped in dozens and dozens of categories. It is truly extensive. They also offer tools. I like the tools, they call it calculation and language aids, things like SoundX, calendars, distance. In this area, they have the SoundX, which is a way of phonetically trying to track down a name. Remember, oftentimes in this research, we're moving from Hebrew or Russian or Polish to German to English, and so the SoundX is very, very important. Calendar conversions to move between the Gregorian and Jewish calendars, a Jewish calendar, oddly enough, to also move between the two of them. And then a distance and direction is an area that's unique because it helps you tell the difference between towns, shuttles, and that sort of thing. And they provide that data in kilometers and in miles. They also offer a host of online classes. I would remind you or let you know that it's sort of a rolling calendar. You can sign up for courses. And it looks to me like they generally keep about a year's worth of material on. Okay, so the next resource I want to talk about is the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, USHMM, if you're following the acronym SOUP. To my mind, this is probably the largest holistic Holocaust site in the world. And the reason I say that is because there were about 12 million, 11 million people who were killed, murdered in the Holocaust in total. 6 million were Jews, 5 million are other groups. We'll talk about some of them here in a minute. And the Holocaust Museum covers them all reasonably well. So in their Victims and Survivors Center, which is one of the major sections they have on the Holocaust Museum, they cover resources on survivors and victims. They have an area on connecting with survivors. They have survivor reflections and testimonies. One of my business partners, his mother and uncle and a number of folks have tapes there. They have identification cards area. They have days of remembrance and then a database of Holocaust survivors and victims' names. All quite excellent and very, very helpful. The second major section of the museum that I want to focus on is resources for academics and research. They also, in that area, link out competitive academic programs, scholarly presentations, publications, and then they have the Jack Joseph and Morton Mandel Center for Advanced Holocaust Studies. The next resource I'll mention is provided by Brigham Young University. BYU provides a useful set of Holocaust study materials and links. Their materials are a little different from the others in that they are university level, and the site is clearly designed to function at that level and act as an asset for their university, and it is just a bit more sophisticated, shall we say. They have help pages for linguistics, academic research, history, politics, newspapers, and more. It is quite excellent, and they also have access to online courseware and material like that as well. Okay, so we have two more major sites to go, really. And what I want to do is point out this next one. It's called the 5 Million Forgotten. It's actually a website hosted as remember.org. Again, the link is in the show notes. Its focus and emphasis is on the non-Jewish victims of the Holocaust. I did include what I think is a good article, even though I'm not necessarily enamored by the publisher. But the article seems to be quite good and quite fair in terms of presenting those people who were not Jewish that were swept up in the Holocaust and suffered as a result of that. In total, it must be noted that the coverage and the destruction of non-Jewish people that this are dealt with on this side and on the Holocaust Museum is not nearly or as thoroughly or energetically supported as is the coverage on the Jewish victims of the Holocaust. The 5 million forgotten enumerates and tries to track down what happened to the Roma and Sinti people, the T4 or the disabled, Pinks or the homosexuals, and also the 3 million Poles who were killed by the Nazis. Major sections on this particular site are a little bit different. They deal with more photos and art, stories, Holocaust survivors, and general education. So a little bit more concise in terms of the breakdown. The last site I want to cover is Yad Vashem. And Yad Vashem is probably the most famous of the Holocaust websites, maybe with the exception of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. But anyway, those are probably the two heaviest hitters. Yad Vashem, if you don't know, literally means a monument and a name. It is Israel's official memorial to Jewish victims of the Holocaust. It's dedicated to preserving the memory of the dead, honoring Jews who fought against their oppressors, and honoring Gentiles who selflessly aided Jews in need. It's also focused on researching the phenomena of the Holocaust in particular and genocide in general, with an aim towards avoiding such events in the future. An important point to keep in mind is that the memorial does not heavily focus on non-Jewish victims of the Holocaust, although there is some focus. Okay, it's just not as, it's not their major focus. If we look at Yad Vashem, it is basically broken up into a number of sections or subdivisions. I don't list them all in the show notes, and I'm not going to go through them all here. I'm going to go through the ones I think are most relevant to doing actual genealogical work. The first section is called the Holocaust. And to quote them, the Holocaust explores the history of the Holocaust thematically and chronologically. Each chapter in the narrative is divided into subchapters with explanatory texts. So if you don't know when things might have occurred and you don't know about the flow of it from a historical perspective, this is a very good place to go to get that. The next section is digital collections. It contains the records of some 4.7 million victims, as well as photos, films, and a deportation database. I'll tell you, when you find data and you send it to them for inclusion, I have found it very difficult to get my stuff included. I don't know why that is. I just pointed out so that if you encounter that, then just recognize you're not alone. Anyway, archives. The archive has initiated activities with a view to collecting and copying Holocaust-related documents that have been housed in various archives in Europe and throughout the world. They have a research area. The goal of the institute, the research institute, has been and continues to be to encourage and support worldwide scholarly research on the Holocaust and Holocaust-related topics. And then they have an area on education and e-learning. To quote them, the International School for Holocaust Studies, established in 1993, focuses upon and excels in quality Holocaust education to diverse audiences from Israel and across the world. They have a museums area, and the Holocaust History Museum occupies 4,200 square meters, for those of you who are metric. Americans have no idea how big that is, mainly underground, both multidisciplinary and interdisciplinary. It presents the story of the Shoah from a uniquely Jewish perspective, and 4,200 square meters is huge, just in case you know those. You could roughly convert that into square yards if you needed to, and then multiply that by 9 to get your square feet. And then an area called the Righteous, and the Righteous Among Nations is honored by Yad Vashem, and those are the non-Jews who took great risks to save Jews during the Holocaust. So beyond the sites that I mentioned in this presentation and that show up in the show notes, be advised, these sites offer the best source information and guidance that they are able. But please be aware of the following. There are resource limitations. There was a great deal of destruction in World War II, and remember, the Nazis wanted to eliminate these people, so they weren't really eager to save their history, if you will. Any guidance that you encounter is going to almost always be incomplete. Your source data is rarely complete. Indexed information, especially if it's done digitally, may not always be accurate, because remember, we're moving through multiple languages and multiple cultures, and any information that you encounter may in fact be subject to some error. I see that quite frequently. not necessarily just in Holocaust data, but everywhere. Data and guidance is going to be repeated across sites. Many of the links that you find on one site, you'll find on another, and so it tends to be self-referential. The languages used in the various sites vary, and the records language usage also varies. So be prepared to stretch or develop your language skills. Become very familiar with those tools like Google Translate. They are your friend. Quite simply, there is no single, universal, complete repository for this information, or for that matter, for any genealogical information. You should expect that your search is going to have only limited success. The more success you have, the luckier you are. In this next section, we're going to discuss some of the links and information that I provide for you on Many Roads. It's a bit different from some of the things you might encounter in the larger sites that we just reviewed. The first one is a site called Show Us Statistics. It is a subsidiary site of Many Roads. It is focused on the systematic, disciplined compilation of statistics and deportations of German Jews at the time of National Socialism. It is an incomplete site at the moment. I also offer a host of Shoah and Holocaust links. They're in the podcast notes as well. We also offer links to free courseware on the Holocaust in those links. We offer links on concentration camps and ghettos. We offer links, a link page for the Pink Holocaust and for the Sinti Roma Holocaust. We offer pointers in the notes and on the help page for Holocaust research to non-Many Roads map-oriented sites. So we have pointers to the Holocaust and World War II maps, to a teacher's guide on the Holocaust maps, a map of concentration and death camps in World War II, another set of maps on ghettos and concentration camps, then a set of maps of SS concentration camps over space and time. So that gives you an idea of the evolution of things. It's quite interesting. And then a Nazi concentration camps link, which is actually to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. Additionally, and lastly, in terms of the type of information I provide, when I do research for a client or a friend, I generally document it via postings, and those are all available on Many Roads, and they are sorted by topic area. So all you have to do is click on the link, and you'll get the ones that I've written that are related to Holocaust research. The last item I'd like to cover in this podcast is the Memorial Book. The Memorial Book is hosted by the German Federal Archives, and it's focused on the victims of the persecution of Jews under National Socialist tyranny in Germany, 1933 to 1945. The focus of this book is to give those murdered their names and dignity back. It is a memorial, and at the same time, a reminder that every single life has a name and its own truly unique, tragic story. There's a host of material available here. Germany acknowledges its guilt, and I have found countless numbers of people who were lost and uncovered their fates here. The only downside to this is that it is only focused on half of the Holocaust. However, half is better than none, and this is excellent, especially if you are looking for Jewish victims of the Holocaust. In closing, let me remind you, additional podcast documentation materials may be found on the Many Roads website in our podcast show notes area. I also encourage you to contact Many Roads to let us know what you might like covered in future episodes of Life in the Past Lane. If you find our podcasts helpful, we certainly appreciate and welcome your financial support. Should you wish to contact us directly, you can always do so through either our podcast host on anchor.fm or via the Many Roads website contact page. As always, I'm Mark Rabideau, the old guy, wishing you fun in your genealogy, or ich wünsche Ihnen viel Spaß bei der Ahnenforschung.